Hey, welcome to the Resilient Self. This week's episode will be about a young lady called Julie who has experienced feelings of being out of control and explains some of the behaviours and some of the benefits that she's felt from taking control where she can, especially in her relationships. She also speaks about self-awareness and self-compassion, forgiveness and personal development. It's a real honest and open story, and I just thank Julie for being so transparent about some of the things that she's experienced. I hope you enjoy the next episode, and if you would like to contact me, then you can contact me on norfolkcounsellor@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, The Resilient Self, or on Instagram, at The Resilient Self. Enjoy. So today we're going to be talking about some of your controlling behaviours that have happened to you in the past, and we're also looking at integration and how accepting parts of yourself that you might not necessarily want to take ownership of can benefit you. So tell me a bit about your self-beliefs of your controlling behaviour.
What, where they started from?
Yeah, where you think they come from and why you use them.
I think my relationship controlling behaviour traits come from being abused.
Why do you think they're from that?
Because that's when I really noticed that I acted on my external... I acted externally to feel safe. Yeah, I was controlling externally to feel safe.
Okay, so you started to feel unsafe and would control things around you?
Yeah.
People, situations?
Both.
Okay. And was it just in relationships that you feel the need to control, as in boyfriends, girlfriends, or is it with friendships or... other relationships in your family?
No, boyfriend or girlfriend.
Just partners?
Yeah, just partner.
Yeah, okay. So how would it show itself? What do you see as controlling?
Checking their phones, checking to see where they've been, how they've been, what they've been doing. Yeah.
And would you
But usually there's a trigger to it in relationships, for me.
Okay, what's the trigger?
Them trying to control me. Like, for instance, if they didn't like me going out, or they didn't trust me to be who I am, whether it's showing being flirtatious with other people or any of it, just being me, if they didn't like that, then they would express that they didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that would be my trigger.
So if you felt vulnerable or didn't like you, if your acceptance was in danger, is that what you...
I think so. I'm not sure.
If you didn't feel accepted or fear of being rejected, you would start controlling.
Yeah, in a relationship.
And so would you sort of set them up for a lie? So would you quiz them first and then check the phone, or would you just check the phone and then quiz them, or would you just check the phone and not say anything? How would it manifest?
At first I'd check the phone and not say anything.
So that...
Then I'd, yeah, it's like a little routine, a little sequence. Like, I'd check the phone, not say anything for a couple of weeks. Then I'd start being brave, ask questions, then go, oh, what can I see? And then, you know, worm my way in. that way.
And what did that behaviour give you that you didn't have?
Satisfaction of being, not being hurt.
Almost a reassurance.
Yeah, definitely a reassurance. It's like a plaster on a wound. Or a graze, or Savlon graze.
So, you know that it's, you said plaster or Savlon on a graze, you know it's not, you know it's a temporary fix.
Yeah, no. I didn't then.
You didn't then?
No.
So what do you think is the worst thing that you've done that's been controlling?
Oh, really? probably put my relationship in jeopardy a lot of the time just so I can't get hurt. So, for instance, there's been a couple of times I can't really put a finger on one, whether it's including other people in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To make it exciting, but then also that reassures me if we've done it, and he's done it with me, then I can't get hurt by it.
So can you explain a bit about that? Because I'm not sure everyone's going to understand that.
I don't know if... What's the age rating?
It's a... Well...
Yeah.
18 plus.
Okay. So then I would include another female into our relationship to see if I can be all right with that. Yeah. Just so that if it's on offer, if a threesomes and all these things that to be cheated on or all these things that can hurt me, if they're already on offer, I can't get hurt.
I see. Now I understand. So if to stop any cheating, you would almost allow it to go on with your permission.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the other thing is that the worst thing, if I was feeling unwanted and unloved, I would hurt him or put myself in a vulnerable situation to see if he would notice for him to be my hero, which he wasn't my hero, and it didn't work out that way. Yeah, I'm still responsible for my own being there. So then I would be in a vulnerable situation with another guy, and then I'd end up cheating on him.
Right.
Because he would make me feel good at the time.
And because your partner then wasn't doing what you
expected.
Rescuing you,
yeah.
You would feel unloved, and so this other person would make you feel more desired.
Yeah, so then that would give me a great reason to be finished with and end the relationship, so then there's no risk of me being hurt.
Right.
Once the damage is done.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of had a bit of a discussion before we started recording, and you were saying about how love is crap, pretty much, and that it would be much easier if the other person left.
Yeah.
Because then you wouldn't feel that, you wouldn't have to deal with these feelings.
Yeah.
And I said to you, how would that make it any easier? Because it's something like, it would be much easier to acknowledge that you have these feelings. So you need, if you really didn't want to feel it, the feelings need to go, not the person.
Yeah, if the feelings go, then the person would go.
Well, then that's a risk that has to be took. You can't love someone
yeah. And then be in a relationship with them.
Yeah. And I was saying that you get more control if you own it. You know, you're saying, well, if he was to go, I would feel safer. And I'm saying to you, if you was to say, I own these feelings, you would feel safer. Because the feelings are yours.
Yeah, I get that. But then I've had this, I don't know, there's parts of this trait that have been there like, it's weird, because I think the reason why I've only had four relationships is because I'd find every reason not to be with someone before even
so there's a chance. Heavily guarded against being heartbroken.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that you can cope with a heartbreak?
I can survive it, can't cope with it.
Okay. So what would survive look like?
Well, I'd be really sad, I'd probably make bad decisions, and then I'd pick myself back up and I'd be alright.
So you would get through it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you said about the bad decisions. What impact would that have on you? Because, you know, you're on a self-awareness journey. You've been doing a lot of soul-searching and self-acceptance and trying to love yourself and be the best version of you. What would those bad decisions do?
Make me feel bad. Not after. Why can't I just deal with it appropriately?
So not only would it be, if you went through a heartache, you'd have the heartache of losing someone and all the other bits that come with it, but you'd also have to look at the person that you have become, making those bad decisions, and try and accept those parts of yourself again.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that can be quite scary.
Yeah, it's not as if my decisions would have changed. My actions, sorry. A lot of my actions have changed since being on the self-awareness. But I really don't think those actions would change. I think I would still be somewhere along the line self-destructive. Whether I'm aware of it or
not. Yeah. So, this control, it's diminished a lot over the years, hasn't it? Your behaviour's changed a lot over the years. So, what are the things that you've stopped doing that you used to once do?
Well, what have I stopped doing? So, I don't go through his phone anymore. I don't ask him 110,000 questions of who he spoke to, where he spoke about, or why he spoke. At the end of the day, if he wants to tell me something, he will tell me. And I don't have access to his phone.
Right.
I can't remember his passwords. I can't remember his passwords anymore. So I used to know all his passwords, and now I can't remember them.
Do you check his, have you got a laptop or anything like that? Do you check emails?
Only for bills.
Right.
Well, my emails.
I've
got his email, yeah. His personal email, that's only got bills on it though.
So you don't check that?
I don't check his work email at all.
His personal email?
He's got two.
Do you check them?
One, with the bills.
Okay. And what about going out, or, you know, if he was to go out for a night?
I'd still worry, but I don't act up on it. I just express how I feel. No. Rather than not expressing how I feel and being really like worried and angry towards him, I generally just express how I actually feel, that I'm going to miss him, and that's fine.
Are there bits of you that you are okay at accepting about the controlling behaviours?
Yeah, that I don't cope when he's away.
What happens when he's away?
Well, that I miss him. That's the feeling I can't control.
So it's the controlling the feeling.
Yeah, I can't control it.
You don't worry about who he's talking to or where he's been.
No, I don't, not anymore. I used to. I don't anymore.
And what you said about being on this self-awareness journey, what do you think this self-awareness has done for your relationship?
Made it a bit rocky.
Has it?
Yeah.
How come?
I personally think it's because I've changed a lot, so he's not quite used to me being a non-controlling person. So he is still expected me to have a go at him for something that now I wouldn't even think about.
Have you got an example?
Being late. Sometimes I'll be a little bit annoyed even now because I've put dinner on and it's still late or something silly like that. But usually I'll get him giving me a complete explanation and justification of why it's late. And I'm just like, I don't want to, it doesn't matter. It's okay, it's fine.
Right.
So him overly explaining everything he does, he over explains. Someone he went to for a job over explains everything.
How do you feel when you see him over explaining?
Irritated.
At?
Me.
Irritated at you?
Oh, yeah. And him. Both. He's irritated me because I don't want to hear all the explanations anymore. But I know I'm irritated myself because I understand why he's over explaining everything. And I can't really stop that from happening. Well, I can now, to a point, because I'm not acting that way anymore, but it takes time.
Do you think he feels secure with the changes that have happened for you?
No.
So that's had an impact on him as well?
Yeah. Old habits die hard.
So with this impact that it's had on your relationship, has your controlling behaviour reared its head again? Or has it tried to? Has it kind of gone, oh, we're feeling wobbly here, we need to...
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah, I guess so, a couple of times.
Because that's the thing you used to use to make you feel safe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're feeling like your relationship's wobbly, then that's a thing that you might fall back to if you wasn't aware of it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I would say that I'm still controlling, absolutely. I can still be very, very controlling. But it's like an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You've just got to monitor and be in control of that. And I think that now I am 98% in control of my controllingness in a relationship.
Right. So, excuse me, I've got a sneeze.
Excuse you.
Oh dear, bless me. Controlling, yeah. So, how did you stop the controllingness or reduce it?
Working on my inner child.
What's inner child?
Working, like basically loving myself. Being accepting myself and loving myself, that it's okay no matter what the outcome is, I've always got myself, and that I can love myself.
Right. So, building a stronger relationship with your internal self makes you feel
safer
and complete, more complete.
Yes.
And how do you build that relationship? How do you start that process? How does it evolve?
Meditating and just picturing me as a younger self.
Yeah.
And then it went from that to meditating, talking to myself, generally sitting down having a discussion to make sure everything's okay and reassuring her that everything's fine. And listening to her needs, and that sometimes her needs won't always be met, and that's okay because I've got me, not the parent side of me, I've just got me,
yeah,
as a whole,
yeah.
and I'm fine with that.
That sounds like a real beautiful process. It sounds almost like you're re-parenting in a stable, caring, loving environment. You're owning a child.
Yeah.
And did you need that re-parenting? Did you lack that in your life somewhere? I suppose I'm trying to find out where, because this is obviously some of life script that you're...
Yeah. That's where the whole intolerance is. And I don't think it was just from... I think there's parts of me as well before the abuse. It was just that was kind of the cherry on the cake to go, hey, if you don't be in control, you're going to be at harm. But before, my whole family, the women in my whole family are all in control.
So it's almost like a social acceptance that, and a stereotype in your young child, you would have seen the women are the one that makes the decisions. The men are, what were the men, quiet? Easygoing, laid back.
Never really there.
Right.
Well, yeah,
mum. So sort of absent, I suppose.
If not physically, mentally, yeah.
Yeah. And so the women were the ones in control, and that was your template. Because we identify with the same sex. As we grow up, we look at the same sex as us. So if we're girls, we look at women. If we're boys, we look at the men. And we kind of create a template off of them, and that's how we become, to a certain degree. Or how we don't become. Sometimes we choose that template isn't what we want, and we'll cut out a new template. We'll find someone who has a better template for us to follow.
Yeah.
So for you, you followed that template.
It was definitely a template to be a strong woman and to be able to do everything, cooking, cleaning, DIY, everything, tire, be a mechanic, do all of it.
And that led into controlling behaviours?
Not that, but watching women, my template of women, control their boyfriends and husbands and to do whatever they like, and the boyfriends and husbands would just be okay with it, then yeah.
So is that a reoccurring theme for you, this controlling? The fact that, you know, I mean, does it go to the point where you think everyone has an ulterior motive, or maybe... you know, you need to keep your guard up, or you can't get invested in that. You know,
it's purely of my feelings getting hurt. That's why I do it. Just like with previous, I know that my family is full of strong women, as we would call them. But I never really acted upon that until my heart was broken.
Right. So emotional pain.
Until my heart was broken by a boy.
Yeah.
That was it.
And I'm finding myself wondering why the emotional pain impacted you and rocked your world so badly. Why you didn't have the... And this isn't a criticism, it's just a thought.
No.
Why you didn't have the bounceable backness, the skills to cope with that in a healthier way. And there's lots of us who don't have those skills.
Right, I learnt them in food control.
But prior to that, when you got hurt, it obviously impacted you greatly, and you didn't have the skills to
just
get up,
yeah,
heal from it and move forward in a healthier manner.
No.
You went through it, you broke down, you tore yourself apart, tore everyone else apart, and then gained a realisation that you can stop hurting it, or reduce the risk of getting hurt if you control stuff.
Yeah.
So why do you think you didn't have those tools to be... to be more bounceable after a heartbreak?
I don't know. I think maybe because I wasn't listened to.
By who?
my parents, everyone.
So you already, from an earlier age, felt not worthy and...
I was angry as well. Because the reason why we broke up was because of a lie.
Okay. So there was anger, there was... But before the breakup, you wasn't given the things you needed to make you feel important, which was being listened to, you said.
Not before the breakup.
Mm.
Well, yeah, because it's not real love, is it?
So the adults, the parents, discounted your first relationship because you was young,
mm-hmm.
said it wasn't real love, and that must have had an impact on you. How did you feel?
Out of place. Is it out of place? Not like, I always just get told to grow up. Always. Just grow up.
What, when you said it was love or?
No, just in general. With right. If, like, if I was naughty or if I was doing anything I shouldn't have been doing or if I was, what's the word? If I was being vain. Like, if I was living myself and if I was, like, being vain, it would be like, well, your face isn't going to earn you money. Yeah. And then they'd be like, grow up, you know, you need to get a job, blah, 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 when you get older. And if I didn't really want to do something, just constantly being told to grow up. And then when I felt like, well, I was in love, and that was just disregarded. I wasn't allowed that. I wasn't allowed that feeling. Because it was tried to be taken away, because it wasn't okay at 10 years of age.
So you felt discounted? Your feelings were discarded and discounted?
Yeah, they weren't real. My feelings weren't real.
And it must have been quite confusing as well, because you've spent so long being told to grow up, and then you feel a grown-up emotion, and mm-hmm. that's not acceptable as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I would have felt really confused. One minute I'm being told to grow up, and the next minute,
yeah, when I've got this, a lot.
This grown up feeling, and it's not okay.
I was confused a lot. I didn't really know what was expected of me or anything. Apart from just be good.
Did you know what good was?
Yeah. Not be involved with boys.
Right.
Don't do drugs.
Mm.
Everything I did do. Yeah.
You rebelled.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of things that was external as well as internal that was all conflicting at the time. And school was not very good and nor helpful. So the people that I thought that I could rely on, I couldn't rely on, which ultimately... And then I got my one of my parents going, if you can't beat them, beat them. Mm. So I was everything that
around. It sounds like at that young age, you experienced something that most adults experience at some point, and that is realising that we can't trust our own judgments.
Oh, yeah.
Because you said the people you thought you could rely on, you couldn't, and vice versa. So at that young age, you must have felt really unsafe, because not only did you not know what was expected of, you know, you didn't know what would please these adults. You had to grow up, but when you grew up, it wasn't good enough. And then you had people who you thought you could trust, who you found out you couldn't trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so your inside world isn't safe either. Because you can't even trust your own opinions anymore.
No.
And as an adult now...
Which has caused conflicts now.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going, actually. So, as a, you know, you said it's caused conflicts now. What sort of conflicts has it caused?
For instance, me being a parent. Or for me being... When I need to be a parent, when I need to be a wife, when I need to be a girlfriend, and losing myself, and I'm not even sure of who I am. like conflicts everywhere, because a lot of my ideas or ideals opinions would lead from being preconditioned, I call it.
Okay, can you give us an example?
School. Well, no, because I don't even know if I don't even know if that's even an opinion yet. I'm trying to find something I've got an actual strong opinion on.
Because you mentioned there about losing yourself at the end.
Uh-huh.
And does that mean, you know, you've kind of lost parts of yourself through this self-awareness process? What you thought you knew, you don't know anymore.
Absolutely. 100%.
And you said that when you was a child and you lost faith in your own judgment, that has had an impact causing conflict for you.
Yeah. For example, Santa, as a child,
yeah,
you get brought up to believe in Santa. Okay, that's great. But then when you finally realise he's not real, you've just learned that your parents lied to you. It's like, great, well done. Why would you do that to a child? So then now my conflict is, do I tell my children that Santa is real? Do I not? So then I found a middle ground, which I'm certain of, and that I find is okay, because I've obviously had that conflict, do I tell my child or not, of that, well, Santa is real because it was Saint Nick, and then I backdate it to history facts.
Right.
That are safe because it's real. Mm. It's facts. It's in history.
In an attempt to avoid giving your children any...
Disbelief. Unsafe. Beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. With an unsafe belief that I can't make practical or real.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good example, really.
But then it's really difficult to love. Because what is love? Well, I know it's a feeling. You can't see feelings. You can only see the reactions from feelings. And that will never be answered. This is a long, cold question. Why?
Well, I think...
We can categorise things from theories.
Yeah, we can. But I think, you know, love looks different to everyone. And I think realising that has certainly helped me on my journey, because I often, in the past, have got caught by thinking he doesn't love me because of blah, blah, blah. When I need to remember, actually, love looks different to everyone. And the thing is about meeting someone who can love in the similar way as you love them, you know. So some people might see love as, you know, an abusive relationship. You know, well, he must love me because of he's come back, or he's done this, or she's done that, or he's done that, or she said this. That equals love, and it's not always the case.
That isn't. So,
no, I know, but to these people, you know, it's all about the belief, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't mind what they think. It's but the conflicts in my head. It's like, well.
But they have to be what's right for you. That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
I don't even know what's right for me.
Not at the moment. Mm. Because you're on this journey. But if I ask you if your little girl felt loved when you was doing this controlling, destructive behaviour, what would you say?
No.
If I say, how about now? Does she feel loved by you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know that in your brain, some behaviours...
I'm on the right path. Yeah.
Some behaviours don't make you feel loved. And some behaviours do. So we know that going towards the do behaviours is going to equals love in your brain.
Yeah. So long as I'm on the right path,
yeah.
I think my little girl's fine.
And that it's only, you know, when we can love ourselves internally, that's when we're able to love our outside of ourselves.
Yeah, but this is completely different to from what I've ever experienced nor expected, because mm-hmm. it's completely blocking away society. It's my opinion on jobs and work and the general government, which people think are conspiracies, but it's general life skills.
You go over that again, because you lost me a bit.
Like, with... We've just general conflicts. Like, I'm becoming someone I'm completely unaware of like, a lot of the government expectations and society's expectations of people in this country alone. It's not in every country, because every country is different. That my thought processes might be classed, well, not my thought process, but my challenges in my own head would be classed as conspiracy. But
why would they be classed as conspiracy?
Because people put them down as conspiracy if the government's trying to trace you or track you or control you and any of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Yeah. Then people would be judged as being conspiracy theorists.
Right.
But then I'm very much like that, but in my own head with critical, not critical thinking, but like, not having an answer. And because of that, I don't really know where I'm going. Which is really unsafe, but I'm fine with that.
Why do you think you're fine with it?
I don't know, because it feels good. It feels right. Yeah.
Is there any part of you that now feels safer as an adult than previously?
No.
Does it all feel just the same or worse?
Probably feel worse.
Even though you've got this feeling in you that feels right?
Yeah.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
Because there's no control.
It's really getting you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, the lack of control for you right now and not knowing where it's going to end for you is...
It's not even end, it's a beginning, isn't it?
Well, I think ends and beginnings are the same.
Oh,
so, Julie's sitting here trying to stop tears rolling down her face. Is that control as well?
Yes. I guess so.
When you are vulnerable, what goes on, you know, where does your head go when you are vulnerable to the point that you know, you don't want to allow a tear to fall in case what?
No. Like I said earlier, it's like being on the edge of a cliff. And surroundings.
Just allowing tears to fall and people to hear you is a danger.
Yeah, because it's vulnerable, isn't it? It's weak. Well, it is weakness.
You see it as weakness?
Yes, yeah, I would do. If it makes me feel vulnerable, then it would be a weakness, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't be a strength.
I see it as a strength.
It's like love.
I mean, to know our own weaknesses.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, but to know our own weakness is a strength. If we walk around unaware of our weaknesses, then we're in danger.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, let's go along with what you were saying. You said it's weak. It's vulnerable, it's weak. So, lack of control, of not knowing what's going on, where it's going to end, begin.
Makes
you feel vulnerable, which is a weakness. And if you're weak, what will happen?
You'll get hurt.
By who?
Anyone.
How would they hurt you?
I don't know. I don't think that far into it. I just... control. There you go, I'm controlling it so that I don't think too much into it. Yeah.
Do you think it would be used against you in some way, or...?
What now? The tears?
Yeah, anything,
okay.
I mean, there was a reason you didn't want them tears to fall.
Yeah, so I wanted to completely lie to you and be like, yeah, no, I feel safe.
Why?
Why? Why did I? Because it's feeling safe is safe. And
Why did you
admitting
want
to,
to lie?
yeah, because admitting that you're vulnerable is weak. It's like, I don't want to feel vulnerable. I don't want to feel weak. Like, it's a very nice feeling.
Yet there's a piece of you that has agreed to do this recording, knowing, and you'll get the go ahead over when you hear it
Yeah,
back,
because I
and I've
don't
edited it.
want.
You'll get the go ahead over, you know, and you're probably going to go, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So there's also a piece of you that does want to
Oh yeah, absolutely.
go there.
Yeah, I don't want to be in control. If I'm not doing things because it makes me feel uncomfortable, is that's me being in control and me stopping myself from enjoying life and doing things that I actually want to do just because I feel vulnerable. That's bullshit. I'd rather just do it and be vulnerable. If I'm put in the situation, then I can practice being out of control of those situations and being okay with it.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm probably not asking the right questions, but I do believe that a tame man needs no boundaries.
Sometimes. I'm so confused. A tamed man needs no boundaries.
So for someone, I mean,
So you think
obviously,
I'm tamed? Oh,
no.
oh. Oh, please say I was tamed.
No, I think you need boundaries because you're untamed. And I think some.
Yeah, I get that. I
So,
definitely need to learn a lot.
well, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not saying it's about a learning thing. I just think that, you know, for someone who is
No, I do.
completely individualized in their own being and knowing of themselves, they need no boundaries. They are safe. They're safe to go up to the edge, knowing that they're not going to fall. They're safe to turn left, knowing that it's going to be the right move. You know, they don't need them boundaries around them. And I see that's how I see it. And I think people who generally need all these fences and controls and stuff are out of control to a certain degree. And that's, I suppose it's what you said at the beginning, you know, you felt unsafe, so you needed to control stuff. I don't really, I have suffered with control when I was a lot younger. And like you, I would, you know, just not want to go. Not want to, I'd want to know stuff. And there was always a trigger for me. It was I'd found a lie or I felt a lie. And I'd be like a dog with a bone. I wouldn't let it go. You know, I had suspicions for 14 years once, and every so often I kept on and on and on until after 14 years I finally got the confession I needed. And up until that point, I was very suspicious, I suppose, and you know, wasn't comfortable with a lot of the things. Like if my partner was going out, and I was like, "Are you going where you said you was?" I never done anything, but I wouldn't be happy about it, and would certainly quiz and try and catch him out. Until that 14 years later, when I finally got what I needed. But other than that, I haven't felt. And I hope I never do get in that position where I feel the need to control things externally. I think the safest place to be is when we're able to control ourself. You know, controlling.
But then you can't control everything of yourself. It's impossible.
No, but to know the things that you can and can't control gives you an element of control. You know, knowing yourself is the safest place to be.
But then you can't always rely on yourself. Anyway.
Why not?
Because your judgment can be wrong.
But in
Well, mine
that,
has been.
yeah, in the past, and they change, you know. I mean,
I know.
there's things I agreed with a few years ago that I disagree with now. But I was aware that my perceptions were changing because of my own self-awareness, and that made me feel safe knowing that I was changing tack. It didn't come as a surprise. I didn't wake up thinking, all of a sudden, oh, wow, I don't believe in that anymore.
Yeah.
It was a slow process because I was constantly working on myself. So self-awareness, just very quickly, before we wrap this up, what do you think, if someone's listening and they're thinking, right, what is self-awareness? How do you do it? What would you say? What do they need to do?
Listen to the gut feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen to your gut feelings. Rather than thinking externally, think about how you're feeling and why you're feeling that way.
So if I...
It always evolves around you.
Yeah.
Them.
You are your centre of the world, aren't you?
Yeah, it's never about anyone else. When you think it's about someone else, it's not.
Yeah. So, for example, if I get on your nerves right now and you're getting feelings of anger up, what you're saying is they need to look at themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they if you're annoying me, there's a reason why you're annoying me. It's like when you was making me upset.
I was making you upset.
No. A lot of people would go, yeah, you made me upset. You was making me cry. But it wasn't anything to do with you. It was to do with me. Because I didn't want to tell you the truth. Because then I'm pretty much vulnerable in front of the whole entire world.
So does...
That's still sad now.
I can see. I mean, this is touch and go whether this is going to be aired.
Why? I've gone from pulling out my eye bags to now
she's actually pulling her eyes to the side to stop the tears falling. I mean, do you feel that I when you was vulnerable that I mistreated you in any way?
No.
Do you think that'll ever dissipate that feeling? Of thinking it's life and death if I show vulnerability here.
Yeah.
You think it'll disperse?
Yes, absolutely. Well, if it doesn't disperse completely, obviously I'm going to have some points of feeling like that, but not all the time. So I think it'll relax. Is that the same word as disperse?
Yeah, relaxing is good. I mean, that sounds so exhausting.
But it's exactly the same with the control. This is the same process that I had with the control. When I was control-live, it took a long time. It probably took about a year, two years to be not controlling. I was in control, but of me, not anything else. And then now, it feels like the same process, and it still fucking hurts. It's just the more you do it, practice makes perfect. Absolutely. And you know, sometimes you'll do something and it isn't the right way to do it, but then you acknowledge that, being self-aware, and you do it the right way next time.
All the while keeping in tune with your inner child. I mean, Carl Jung describes it as individuation, where we accept parts of our shadow self, which are the bits that we don't particularly like. And we integrate them into our being and acknowledge that that's who we are. I mean, for you acknowledging that you have a controlling part, for you acknowledging that you're vulnerable is part, if we look at it from a Jungian perspective, is your shadow self.
Yeah, it's not very nice to feel vulnerable all the time, but, and I'm sure as how I'm probably going to feel that forever, but it shouldn't hurt all the time, and I don't think it will hurt. Not being in control has subsided, you know.
And what has it given you? What has, I mean, if you didn't feel that way as a child and in your relationships out of control, you would probably be a very different person now. You probably wouldn't be in the self-awareness group that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what are the positives that have come from all this?
Not being in control.
That going through that stage where you needed to be in control, you're coming out the other side now. It's almost like you've changed that part of you. What are the positives? What has it allowed you to be?
Alive.
Alive?
Yeah. Absolutely. If I wasn't controlling, I wouldn't have put myself in I wouldn't have got myself out of situations where I really needed to get out of.
So there's a coping, a safety mechanism in you being in control.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I will never not be in control. I'm proud of me being in control. I'm not proud of me being controlling of others to subside my own feelings.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned before, I think there's a big difference between I'm in control most of the time, but that I am not controlling.
No.
So there's quite a big difference there.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah. I enjoy my being in control, and that will, I will always have that.
Hmm.
And I think that I'm really proud of even forming that. Even forming to be controlling, I'm still proud of it, because without it, yeah, I'd probably be dead.
Hmm. So it's kept you alive in many aspects.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's stopped you from accepting less than you should as well at times.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm so, yeah, even now I'm still such hard work, but I'm happy with that. I'm happy that I'm hard work because, well, I'm hard work.
Do you think,
I'll never settle for less.
Do you think that if you're hard work and someone stays around and works through the hard work, that also confirms that they love you?
That they're not going to leave.
So it's almost like
A test,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know that. And I'm fine with it.
Oh, are you?
Yes. Yes, I like that. Oh, I like my test.
You need that at the moment.
Well, yeah. Might not need it in 10 years' time. But I definitely need it now. Yeah.
You have to be shown that you're loved.
Yeah, with time though. I don't know with that one, because I'm conflicting, like, and it's a bit messy at the moment, especially the differences between friendships and love life. I'd say I need that through love life, but not friendships, which is really odd.
Mm-hmm.
Why? That we could.
Well, maybe that's because you don't have the same emotions you have for friends. Maybe there's a different set of stereotypes you have. You have an idea of what love from your partner looks like as to what your relationship should look like.
Yeah, quite possibly. That sounds about right.
Hmm. I think you've been great today. You've kind of... We kind of left it loose, didn't we, as to what we was going to talk about. We knew we needed to cover a bit of self-awareness, and we knew we needed to cover some controlling chats. And hopefully that will help others who are suffering from need to feel control. And
checking their boyfriend's phone.
Yeah, check it, you know, because it is quite an abusive behaviour,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, just on the quick side of that, the plus, the other side of that, would you allow your... phone to be checked? And
no, and I never would,
because
it's mine. Trust me, trust in what I say. Oh God.
So if we're looking at this process from a Jungian perspective, using the shadow stuff,
you're... I'm entitled. They're not.
You're entitled.
Absolutely.
So you're a hypocrite.
Yep.
Yep. And you know that of yourself.
Yeah.
Is that something you're proud of? Or are you okay with it? Or?
I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's kept me safe for a long time. And then it's also like, I won't ever settle for less than I deserve.
Do you feel loyal to that part?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I guess so. I like that part.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I do.
It's good that you like parts of you.
Mm.
And it's good that you're able to acknowledge and admit these parts of you. And you are, I mean, I can vouch for this, you are a ever-evolving piece of art. You know, you're constantly checking in and looking at yourself and looking at others, because, you know, we know that working, you need something to relate to. You know, you can trigger me, I can trigger you, and they're gifts. They're gifts for us to work through.
Yeah, so we can look into ourselves and see where we come from.
It's about owning it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks ever so much for being absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that we kind of left it free-falling and discussed whatever it was that came up, because I think there's going to be a lot of gold in there for some people.
Touch wood.
Touch wood. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.